This morning, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Steve had you turn to Genesis chapter 1 in Sunday school and said he was going to teach the whole Bible, and he didn't get through, so we're going to start where he... Actually what we're going to do is we're going to continue a series of messages that we began last Sunday on Father's Day in talking about the home, the family, and so forth. Last week we talked primarily about men and their responsibilities. And this week we're going to be talking about women and their responsibility, wives and mothers and so forth. And for you ladies that are here today and your husband wasn't here last week, I'll send you the CD for $19.95 so you can be sure he gets his share of what went forth. But anyway, it is available on CD and on the internet as well. But we want to talk... We're going to spend several weeks on this. Last Sunday about fathers, men. Today about the ladies, mothers, wives. Next Sunday we're going to talk about children and the role of the child in the family and the discipline of children and that kind of thing. The next week we're going to talk about some family relations that we see today that many people don't think the Bible has much to say about, and that's single parent families and grandparents and those relationships that we see in our society today that the Bible has some things to say about that many times we don't think that it does. And then probably the last week, if we do one more lesson, we'll do simply some things about marriage and how to have a successful marriage, not addressing individual members necessarily, but looking at marriage in general. But I want to start in Genesis chapter 1 today, because as I thought about this, and I've been thinking about this week in relation to the message, I don't know of anything or any entity in the world today that has come under more attack than the family as God designed it. The church has. That's true, but the interesting thing about it is that God instituted the family before he ever instituted the church. And the family was to be the foundation for all that God was going to do upon this earth. We see that in creation in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27. The Bible says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Go over to chapter 2, and there's a further explanation of how God brought about the male and the female. In Genesis chapter 2 in verse 18, "The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be," notice, "one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So we see the institution of the one flesh relationship intended in marriage, ordained as early as Genesis chapter 2 in the very creation. He said, Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Go over, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. where we spent a good deal of time last week. We'll be there again this week in Ephesians chapter 5. And notice there in verse, we're going to go further down in the passage and then come back. But I want you to notice the quotation there in verse 30, Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the same relationship that he's talking about there in Genesis, he speaks of, Paul speaks of over here in Ephesians, and he's talking about two entities here simultaneously. The husband-wife relationship and the relationship of the church to Christ. But he says there in verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now last week, as we talked about the man and his responsibility, we tried to sum that up basically with the role of the man in the marriage relationship as a husband and father, really can be summed up in two words, and that is love and leadership. Paul said there in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so a man, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we found that God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the man. And the Bible says that the man is the head of the woman. And so the man is to accept the place of authority and a leadership that God has ordained. You see, if there's any truths in the Bible that people generally look at as antiquated, I would say these are the ones they look at as antiquated, those that are out of date. But they're not out of date, and they all have a reason, and they all have a purpose, and we want to talk about some of that today. So the man is to accept his place of authority and leadership that God gave him. In accepting that, he's to accept the responsibility that comes with being that leader. You see, it's not simply enough to exercise the authority and the leadership, but that's to be done in love as Christ loved the church. We saw that the man is to be the provider for the family. If any man provideth not for his own, especially those of his own household, he is worse than an infidel, the Bible says. And so he is to provide the physical needs, not the wants, but the physical needs, the spiritual needs, and the emotional needs. And in order to do that, a man has to know and understand what those needs are. That's why the Bible says over there in Peter that a man is to dwell with his wife according to knowledge, with an understanding. And one of the things that has, in this world that we live in, that has come about over the years is the idea of trying to destroy the identity and the of man and woman as being different. And God created man and woman different because of the different roles that he designed for them. Now, while there are similarities, there are other differences. The one that I mentioned last week, is that generally speaking, women are more emotional than men. That's why they make far better mothers than men do.